For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Islanders country, hello. This is the Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. I am your host, Joe Bono. Follow me on Twitter at IslesFix and subscribe to our Monday through Friday newsletter. And joining me once again, our full-time recurring guest, Mr. Andy Francis. Andy, how are you? How was your Super Sunday, sir?
How's it going? I went to a wedding in South Carolina. There was a couple who had the audacity their wedding on Super Bowl weekend. So it was one of those situations where you have to scramble back during the day on Sunday to give yourself enough time to be fully situated with whatever it is that you're going to be doing on Sunday, because you don't want to be that guy who stays late on the Sunday and then just wings it by watching it at a random place in South Carolina. And I got news for you. If you want to check the weather in South Carolina this past weekend, it rained from the very beginning of the weekend straight through to Sunday. And I think that's just the penalty that was incurred for booking your Super Bowl weekend wedding. And that's just kind of the penalty. You got the rainy wedding, and that was your penalty for bringing everyone there on Super Bowl.
I did absolutely nothing. We're at that age with the kids where it's like a 6:40 start is, what are you going to do? You can't bring them anywhere because the game starts too late. Can't even watch a quarter or a half because it's past bedtime. So everyone was like, oh, you're watching the pregame show. Who watches these pregame shows? The Puppy Bowl. I literally watched Cocomelon, which is a Netflix, kids sing along show that was on from 3 o'clock into my house up until kickoff at 6:40. But, got a little lucky on the boxes, 8-5, those numbers came out. You cursed and said, Jesus, 8-5. These are horrible numbers. They'll never come out. And then all of a sudden, luck changed. So
you don't care who wins. If you keep scoring, you then hit the threshold where those numbers are possible. I bet you in the modern NFL where scoring is, through the roof, I think those numbers aren't as bad as one might think with all the extra 2-point conversions and all the touchdowns.
Even the missed extra points. There's different, there's different elements now. Back in the pre-2-point conversion and pre-extra point being a football play, those two, those fives, they were brutal numbers. Now you can figure out a way to get lucky with those. So, that was the case for me last night.
You were praying to get like, oh my God, if they could maybe score 5 touchdowns and you get lucky with a pick 6 at the end, they can get to 35.
Yeah.
Now you're expecting 35.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, Super Bowl season is Super Bowl is over. Football season is over, which means all of the attention in the New York tri-state area is focused on the New York Islanders, of course. At least that's the purpose of this show. And, I don't know if you were following the social media here on Monday, but the focus really was around this really tough love practice that they had today. And I'm sure I was thinking of you because you probably were like, where has this been all year long. Now, listen, we don't know exactly what goes on behind closed doors with Lane Lambert and his team, whether or not he goes all out on them, reams them out during the course of intermissions or after games. But for the beat writers who are at those practices that are at Northwell all the time, they all recognize that something felt different the way he was talking to this team, the way he took control of practice, and the way he was emphasizing certain things that the team has been lacking. I think everyone was like, well, this guy seems like he might be on edge. He feels like it's a critical point of the season. He feels he's on the hot seat. I don't know. But it was good to see that that was happening, at least on the ice, and we'll see whether or not it manifests anything against Ottawa on Tuesday.
Well, you know, this guy's watching Barry Trotz, you know, who was standing right next to him, go to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals and then get fired the following year. I think you know that your leash is relatively short when you see the GM pushing for players and hoping to do something. Yeah, where has this been? Where was this been last year? Where is this? You know, you're seeing, I believe I saw the references that, or the things that you're referring to and the quotes that you're referring to from those beat writers. And where has this been for years? I told you, it's the feel-good Islanders. No big deal. Worry about it tomorrow, bro. Shaka, worry about it tomorrow. Like, this is the type of practice slash philosophy slash culture you need. This has to be their regard. You have to fear being reprimanded regardless. You can't just always think things are going to work out. And I'm happy to see it. I mean, who knows what it's actually going to mean, but it's good to see people publicly blasted. Like, if the coach knows the beat writers are going to say the things that happen in practice and he says it anyway, that's good. Noah Dobson needs to see his face and name mentioned in all these quotes, or anyone else. I don't care if it's somebody I've always supported or not supported, one of my favorite players, it doesn't matter. They need to be called out for when they're not playing well, and they need to be held accountable. It's not everybody's always comfortable all the time, and I'm happy to see it. I mean, it's the first step in the right direction. We haven't known what this Dick Tracy character looking coach has done. He's just kind of, with his slick hair, great hair gel.
Great hair.
It looks hold nine, but we haven't felt his imprint. You saw those post-game speeches, pure Fred Flintstone, Capuano, they got lucky, bad breaks, blah, blah, blah. Never gave anything with any sort of substance. And again, I get it, protecting the players and whatnot. But regardless, we had no feel as to what the vibes were around the team and what was going on. And I think that manifested in the team looking like that for the majority of the season. I don't know. It's pretty awful that you're waiting now to this final stretch. What's the record that they have on the Islanders now to say that they have to make the playoffs? What is it, like 20-6, was it, or something like that?
I mean, I think they're on a pace for, you know, below 90 points, probably 88 points. I think they're 4 points ahead of last season's pace, and last year they finished with 84.
So whatever,
so they're probably short of 90 right now.
From what I saw, there was like 26-3, what is something like that. If that forecasts to get the Islanders in, then this needed to happen earlier in the year. That those long stretches where we say there's no urgency, we talked about it every single week. These reprimandings, these lambastings, these meetings between the coaches, players, benchings, line demotions, whatever it may be, these needed to happen earlier in the year.
So now, He downplayed all of it, right? He talked about how, you know, this was a practice day, and that during the course of the season, you have practice days like there was on Monday, and then you have games, days where like you're just skating in between games, and you're not able to have a full-fledged, hard-working, up-tempo practice. So he put it on that, and not that it was the result necessarily of what happened against Vancouver and Montreal. But listen, we saw him visibly upset and angry during the post game after the 6-5 loss to Vancouver. And you saw him how ticked off and annoyed he was, slamming the bench door open, walking off the ice against Montreal. So there has been visibly something different about him after the last two losses that he held together. Whatever the philosophy was on why he was trying to keep that even keel, I don't know. But it was starting to blow, and maybe it blew in practice today. And I think the thing that was most noticeable that the beat writers talked about was that in a normal practice, they see that his assistant coaches are the ones actively kind of being hands-on and instructing the players, and they took a back seat, and it was the Lane Lambert show apparently. So he can downplay it. I think there was something noticeably different about it. And I think probably the players appreciated it. At least it felt that way based on the comments. Again, we'll see whether or not it makes any difference when they play Ottawa. But I mean, Andy, they have blown such a great opportunity the last two games because, and you know, I fall for this again. Here they are, what was it, 4-2 against Vancouver, four straight wins, and I'm looking ahead. I'm going, okay, this is a win. Then they got Montreal on Saturday, and then Ottawa, and all of a sudden it's a seven-game winning streak. That's where my head's at, rolling into these Pittsburgh games with Boston in between and how much energy and excitement there would be. And know what, to score five goals, to give up six goals to the Vancouver Canucks with Ilya Sorokin in net was unforgivable the way that game was.
Well, what if I told you all season you can break up this Islanders season into, oh, then there was the comeback period and then the period. There's one constant throughout the whole season, and it's awful defense. And I've told you many times I will prefer a Minnesota philosophy. I don't care. They have one great player. And I will take a team approach where you have to grind out wins every single time, because if you have bad defense, you're an absolute nobody. And it's going to cost you in the most important and crucial times. So just take what you just saw the last couple of games. Imagine you're in the playoffs and you have this goal, this lead going into the third, two games in a row. You need to be able to lock it down. And if you can't do that, I don't even care. I honestly don't even care, because I told you, when you asked me, what's it going to get you to buy back in? I said, eight straight games of three goals or less.
I got halfway there.
They were at five. They were at five, because even in the first loss.
Right, Ottawa 2-1.
So all
right.
They needed to do was go three or less against Vancouver minus Horvat, a completely injury-depleted, followed by would have been a last-place team regardless, even without the injuries, Canadiens. And then tomorrow night against the Senators. Do that, and Andy's back, because he realizes that you've shifted focus and you've shifted your priorities with enough time left in the season to know what's important. But they didn't. They didn't. No, the fans should be happy. They got their forward. They got their forward scoring. They got the Barzal line productive. They're happy, right? Fans got to be happy. This is the right now, this is the fans' New York Islanders. No trots. Traded for a forward, got a goal scorer, got Barzal somebody to play with. Everyone's happy, right? The fans should all be happy right now, because this is their current team. This is the fan GM constructed team. So they're thrilled right now, right?
They're not thrilled. They're not thrilled. They want Barry Trotz back. You didn't hear about that after the Montreal game?
Okay. Just making sure.
I mean, the Vancouver game was like, are they really going to lose this game 5-4? Then Beauvillier scores, of course, on the power play goal to make it 6-4. Like, okay, well, they're going to lose this game. And then they do get the third period goal. No, Dobson scores, make it 6-5, but really don't have another goal in them. And, you know, that game was just really infuriating, the way they just kept on letting Vancouver just score right after they scored. You know, after the Horvat goal, all the momentum in the world, and they let Pettersson score right after that. Adam Pellick takes a bad penalty, leads to another power play goal. Just bad. And tell you what, you know, we talked about Dobson. We don't talk enough about Romanov. He's got problems right now in his own zone a lot too. And you know, he's under the radar. Expectations are not there the same way they are for some other members of that blue line, but. No, they traded a first-round pick, a 13th pick overall for him. And, yeah, he shows some flashes with the physicality. I like the big hits, and I like the attitude. But, he said some things, too, after the game, but he's got to improve in every area of the game. He's not ready, necessarily, for big-time top 4 minutes.
Well, a couple things. Number one, it's funny how a couple months can change somebody's perspective in regards to coaching or a player. Go look at what the Islanders Nation said about Romanov first third of the season. This is him and Dobson are going to be a dynamic duo for decades to come. What happened to that? The season is a marathon, and all those things that you saw, everything from the comebacks to stellar play in small stretches from random players, eventually the truth will come to the surface. And we've seen that with a multitude of these players. Now, this is the first season I've seen of Romanoff. What I could say is he reminds me, if you watch the first years of Mayfield, just taking himself completely out of position, going wild, looking for hits, looking to join the offense, but he's doing it randomly instead of like in a calculated fashion. He looks like a jackal. That's what I used to call Mayfield when he had the long hair in his first like 2 years. I used to tell my brother, like, this guy's a jackal out here. It looked like he was trying to imitate Brent Burns, just without being Brent Burns. Like, he was this big guy throwing his body around, joining the rush with speed, bulldozing people. And he was like a wild card out there. He was like a defenseman functioning as a forward and throwing hits, but taking himself out of position. I'm seeing a lot of similarities with Romanoff in that regard. But the thing is, at least with him, when you do refine those things, you know he's not going to get bullied. You know he's not going to get bodied. You know he's going to be a physical presence. I think there are things to reform in his game. You were never really asking for him to be a big offensive contributor. He does have good speed.
Skate will.
So we will we'll see if he's able to be, you know, refined. I do think, obviously, the more structure your team has, the easier it makes it for a defenseman to know what to do and simplify his responsibilities. But this has been the Doug Wade Islanders in terms of what they're allowed to do. You want to join? Join. You want to get back? You want to get back? It's roller hockey out there. They're doing what they want, and it's why you've seen some of the old warts defensively come back with like people like Nelson and before he left Bevilier, and you're watching guys like Romanoff take themselves out of position without the proper reinforcements, because this is just what they've been this year. They've been all over the place, and this is why they blow 2-goal leads against a non-playoff team in Vancouver on their home ice after that team traded their top goal scorer
and played the night before.
It's a series of embarrassments is really what it is.
And then Saturday afternoon, I mean, listen, they were lucky to have the lead. I mean, they were not the better team throughout that game. They get the Matt Martin goal to get the lead, and then they're given this amazing opportunity in overtime to have the 4-on-3 in overtime, which sometimes is easier to score on than the traditional 5-on-4.
Not even that. They had the 2-1 lead. You got to understand, if you go into that intermission, you get to say, wow, bad performance. We're going into the third with the lead. There should be a team-wide focus on, oh, just close this one out. It's been a poor performance. Just make sure your T's are crossed and what's dotted. Do you remember?
Lowercase J's. I know my way.
Make sure those lowercase J's are dotted. Let's get out of here with a 2-1 win or an empty net or 3-1 win. This is the worst team who doesn't have the personnel to come back. But what do? They blow it. Worst case scenario. Kind of, but they get another lead. And they re-blow the lead to the bottom-dwelling Canadians. This, my friends, it makes you, like, they don't deserve what everybody's seeking. You don't deserve a playoff spot when you do these things. And only maybe when you're forced, like you say, now they're being reprimanded. I needed something to happen, that this stuff has to be brought to the surface. Because like early in the year, when you're these unsustainable comebacks, it makes you say, no, we're good. We're good. No. You have embarrassing losses to Vancouver and Montreal. What do you have to do then after that? Look in the mirror and say, okay, what is wrong with us? And I've been hoping for this all season long. So it's taken these two embarrassing losses. Now we get people yelled at on the ice. It should have come probably a full season earlier.
And I know how much you love my stats.
I think you've taken it too far. I think you've taken it too far.
19-3-3 when leading after two periods. But the 9 points lost when leading after two periods, highest total in the NHL this season. Their most since losing 10 in all of the 2014-15 season, including that game, the final night at the Coliseum that cost them home ice. So with more than a quarter left of the season left to play, they've given up 9 points by not holding third period leads.
For example, that thing you just brought up. All right. So first of all, what you just said, you've now taken my quote out of context. Relevant data and statistics to this current team, absolutely. What you just said about the amount of points blown, that is an absolutely relevant statistic. You should bring it up all the time. Comparing the team to a team that's not on the ice in 2014, that to me means absolutely nothing. But I am happy that you just brought that up.
Just historical context.
Because that last game of the season on home ice had a lead and lost it. It cost them home ice. Once I saw them lose that game, I have no desire to win a playoff round after that. Because do you understand? That is the playoffs. That is holding a lead in the playoffs.
And I think Eric Bolton had a goal that game too, and they still lost. I was there. I bought that ticket, you know, before the season. I'm like, this is going to be the final game ever at the Coliseum. The Islanders are going to make the playoffs. And then you're there, and they lose in the shootout to Columbus.
Because do you want to know what happens with a team like that? They get to the playoffs. And then even if they win a round against Florida, what happens? They have a one-goal lead with under a minute left against the Tampa Bay Lightning in game three. And they blow it with under 30 seconds left and lose that one in overtime. They have a lead in game four at home on home ice. Blow that, lose in overtime.
Was there for that too?
Well, the thing is, you may be shocked. You may be upset. You may throw something on the floor, but the second I saw that lead blown in the last game of the season, I go, oh, well, this is it. This is not a playoff team that's going to be able to win multiple rounds, because what they were just presented is a playoff style adversity, and they failed that test. The odds of failing that test and then just completely turning it around in the weeks after that and doing all the small things that are necessary to close out games like that, to me, there's minimal chance of that. So when you see these things that you just saw, with all those points, how badly you need these points to get back in the race, and you commit those egregious small errors, I guess that's an oxymoron, but that collection of errors, which ends up having an egregious result, that tells me this team is not ready for the playoffs. They're not going to do what's necessary if they got there, and they would get absolutely steamrolled against a team who actually is buttoned up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old Bill Parcells line, right? You are what your record says it is, and the Islanders are what these trends have been. And, we'll see. I mean, they're still in it. It's hard to say they're not in it. And they have three games left with Pittsburgh. They got two big ones coming up. And, you know, maybe they surprise us and turn things around and win all of those games. And next thing you know, those games in hand don't look that much of a big deal. And, you know, you'll wake up and look at the standings and they're in seventh or eighth. It's possible. I mean, Washington right now is very vulnerable. Pittsburgh is as well. Florida stubbing their toe, even though they look like they're playing better. And Buffalo is completely unproven and has never done it before. So they're in the muck. And listen, I know how you feel about the eighth seed, but, you know, it's a shame because it was a really – we talked about this a week or so ago that this stretch was the opportunity to get going, and it really looked like they were. They lost that game in Ottawa, but they won those two games at home before the break. They get the Horvat trade, and you're thinking all the good vibes are there for this to happen, and for those two results, they could have somehow withstood all of this bad play, all of this lackluster effort, could have almost been erased if they could have won these last two games and carried a six-game winning streak get going.
But you're asking, like, Scott Farkas not to be the bully. You're saying, well, if they can just not do the thing that they've been doing all this season, and finally they can just stop doing the thing that they can't stop doing all season, then we're going to be all right. You're never going to get a better
slate of games.
Not slate of games, but the way in which the momentum was built. Lackluster performances before the break, but you were able to get the points. You were able to trickle through those goals.
OT winner, Barzell, the break.
Exactly.
Trade comes
exactly.
In.
Then you get the trade. He scores in his two out of his three first games, or now three out of his first four games. And you win those first games. And that line is by. You can't have more momentum. And you have a 4-2 lead against the team who you just plucked that star off of, and they don't have their top goal scorer and are 0-1 since that trade, had to play the night before. If you can't close that game out, what in God's name makes you think that from this point to the end that it's all going to be different?
Yeah.
It's just not, unfortunately. You can hope that a series of things happen. Okay, well, if Washington fall and these go, but it doesn't matter, because once you're in there, like, there's a team, if given an opportunity, you go, uh-oh, that's going to be a scary thing to deal with. That was like if Vegas snuck in that eighth position at the end of the last season, they were like 2 or 3 points out. And if they got that last seed, You know what they did to Colorado the year before. They went to the Final Four for three straight years. So you saw them in there with that veteran roster. That was going to be a handful to deal with. The same can't be said about these guys. I mean, to beat teams like Boston and Tampa, and now with the Rangers with Tarasenko, and they're on a full roll.
At least they don't play the Rangers anymore.
Yeah.
At least they got that going for them. Before we take a break, just the power play against the Canadians. I mean, you know, right now there's these stories are being written about the improved power play because they're 4 out of 9 since Horvat returned, including the goal from the really bad angle. That was a power play goal. And they also had the Barzal goal the other night that was a 1 second after the power play expired. So I don't want to discount that it hasn't been better. Obviously, the numbers say it wasn't. There was nowhere to go but up from where it had been. That 4-on-3 was so stagnant, so predictable, so slow moving, and they had possession for almost the entire time. And who were they exactly trying to set up? Dobson on the left side for a shot? That was like the whole power play was. Looks like it was being revolved around a Noah Dobson one-timer from the left slot, which I've not seen at all at any point this year.
I've said that all season. What are they trying to set up? It is absolutely absurd that in a 4-on-3 or 5-on-3 that, you know, some people will say, why is Kyle Palmieri out there? To me, nope. Why is Ryan Pulock and his 105-mile-per-hour slap shot, or if Wahlstrom was back in the lineup, why are your absolute bomb shooters who the forward who's high is going to have to shade over to, which will free up more ice down the slot and in the middle, why is he not on the ice? Noah Dobson can get shots through, so okay, on a 5-on-4, you can kind of sell me on the idea of him being out there. Then, you know, he shoots and you got, you know, two layers. You got Horvat, you got Anders Lee. But on this 4-on-3, I mean, you have to have one of those shooters out there. You have to have one of your big shooters out there. And, you know, this is exactly what happened. It was a classic case. They were trying to do crisscrosses and this, that, and the other. And they were able to get a couple of shots. But what did it resort to? A couple of Dobson one-timers. Blocked, and it was
blocked.
Yeah.
And then Barzal. And this used to happen to John Tavares all the time in overtime. You know, doesn't go to the bench, tries to make one more play, and that leads ultimately to the goal. And I mean, you take the good with the bad, I guess, with Barzal because of he's such a more dynamic skater and playmaker than anyone else on this team. That's a bad turnover, man.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many bad turnovers. There's so many turnovers
with him. You saw the thread that I made. He's got 5 in a game at the blue line, but when you're so deficient in the offensive end, you just naturally you just forgive him. No, but he's our star. Yes, exactly. I said yes, he is our best player. Absolutely, it's unbelievable when he's on. I'm not advocating doing anything other than making him more responsible. And no, you can't. You have to be situationally aware. If you're going to try a drop pass at the blue line, you know, which if you mess up in any way, shape, or form is going to lead to a breakaway the other way, you just have to. I get it. It was bad luck, but I mean, there have been so many from him this season.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not going to hate on the 4-on-3 as much as other people. They were able to get looks and whatnot, but.
And they had the puck for like 30 seconds. It felt like before it was, you know, they just, again, just another, what an opportunity.
I'm one of those guys.
Get those 2 points, momentum, overtime. Oh,
I'm one of those guys who believes I don't care what happens in the overtime. I don't care. You didn't close out the game. To me, the result in overtime is regardless. If you win,
have a problem with a game tying goal, like even Butch Goren got on Pelech, like that we did a bad job. I mean, I thought that was a pretty amazing tip there on the game tying goal. It wasn't like they gave up an odd man rush, or it was a pretty high caliber tip on a shot that looked like it was going to go wide otherwise.
Even Butch,
we know is the homer of homer. He was after Pelech, just not doing his job about, you know, boxing out his guy and pushing him out of position, not even allowing him to have his stick free.
Boxing out's a weird thing during the regular season, because if you honestly do what's necessary to get that quote unquote inside position, so many times they'll call it during the regular season because you're going to end up, you know, taking some sort of interference, or you're going to can opener him because he's strategically going to put his, you know, legs and put them your stick in the middle. And then if you turn, I get being cautious during the regular season, and it's not so much like how that goal went in, but it's just so, it's just the amount of chances and the ease in which scoring chances are attained by teams, regardless of skill level, is very disappointing. And I guess that's just because I'm a defense first philosophy kind of guy, whether I'm playing NHL or watching the NHL or strategizing, you know, which teams I want to pick to win a game. I think defense is the most important, you know, part of your team. If you have a good goalie, that's even better. But as you saw, it didn't matter who was in the net for the Islanders. They had a career year with Barry Trotz. Braden Holtby was a Vezina candidate under Barry Trotz. He can't even get a backup job now. If you play good team defense, the job is easier for everybody. And the further you get away from that, the harder you make life for yourself. So, you know, we're kind of back to Doug Weight era right now, where now maybe we can score a little bit. No, but I just say, because now we're scoring a little bit. But you're not doing the most important part, which is closing out games when you do have a lead.
Well, listen, we'll see whether or not there's a cause and effect to this hard Monday up-tempo practice or not against the Senators on Tuesday at UBS Arena. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk Valentine's Day with Mr. Andy Francis. Find out his plans. You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. We'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
We're back. Joe Bono, Andy Francis, Eyes on Isles podcast. And you're probably listening to this on Valentine's Day. And, you know, I'm guessing, you know, Andy, bachelor, Florida, Sunshine State, spring training in the air. You know, I got nothing going on. Married, 10 years, couple kids. We're lucky that we get each other cards when we make our runs to the supermarket. Maybe sneak in a dinner later in the week or something like that with no kids awake. What's going on? What's anything happening? What's
Valentine's going on? Day, it's an all-time scam when it comes to the actual day. Am I going to be hanging out with somebody? Sure, but it's either going to be happening on the 13th or the 15th, or we'll be doing some cooking.
Because that's how you circumvent. No prefix menu restaurant?
The same way on New Year's Eve, they can get away with charging $100 tickets and then kick you out of a bar at 1 a.m. despite the fact that one day ago that place was free to go to and closed at 4 a.m. It's the same place, and they're going to overcharge, underdeliver, and then kick you out of there. And then you're fighting with everyone to try to get in these places. And if you partake in all that stuff, then you got scammed. And I do understand that your girlfriend, wife, whatever, is going to be upset that you're not at one of the classic places, that you're not going to the classic movie. But I think they're not doing a proper evaluation of what's going on over there. I mean, I would rather go above and beyond. I would rather give twice the Valentine's Day gift and treatment as long as it's not on the 14th. If you do it on the 14th, they win. And who's
especially
they?
When you have know. Ottawa Senators Islander game on Tuesday night. Yeah. Who wants to miss that, right?
Well, if it was at home, then you get the tickets as the gift.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what I'm sure a lot of Islander fans are doing right now. They're getting their tickets for UBS Arena and going to take their special someone or someone who they hope maybe one day gets elevated to that special someone, and they could retell the story, maybe end up on Kiss Cam.
And, I'm sure that Kiss Cam's we'll going to be popping tomorrow night.
I think it might be another we never really did get complete confirmation about whether or not that engagement on opening night was staged. I mean, you should know, right? You are the actor, the thespian out of the bunch. What do you think? What was your verdict on that?
I need to watch again, but I'll be able to tell you right away. Your average person's an awful actor. It's the worst thing you've ever seen. So usually if you have to ask yourself if it's real, most of the time it is, because all the little reactions, people's like pupils opening and looking around, you know how good you have to be to do that stuff. You can't fake. You know when people are faking. Take one acting class, and that's what people try when they actually try. It's the worst stuff you've ever seen in your life. So if you have to ask yourself, I know this is probably in the minority, but it's more likely to be real than not, in my opinion. Because, okay. Just because if you sat in where I've sat in these acting classes and saw how bad your average person is at performing, and these are people who wanted to be there, let alone people who don't want to be there. Yeah, yeah. But I remember when I was younger and I watched that stacked Detroit Red Wings team who had Brett Hull, Robitaille, Datsyuk, Yzerman, Fedorov, Lariano. They were stacked. They won the cup. And I was at the Coliseum and they had the Kiss Cam. They did the classic, went around from, you know, fans, this, that, and the other, put it on a weird looking couple that gets a chuckle. And then it ended on Brett Hull and Igor Larionov. You cannot get a better duo. A stoic Russian who's not moving, and Brett Hull, who has a hilarious personality. So Hull looks up and sees himself on there. Then he looks at Igor, who's just dead-faced Russian looking straight, smiles at him, grabs him on the shoulder, and gives him like a little half smooch. Awesome. It was one of the funniest things. Because if you've ever seen Brett Hull's face, he's got that Joker looking face, you know? It was so good.
Top-notch Nassau Coliseum. Hockey ops right there. 100%. So we talked a little bit about it, but the Rangers making this move for Tarasenko. Was that something maybe you were thinking about? Is it the obvious move? I mean, obviously they were rumored to do something like everyone else. They were talked about with Timo Meier. They get Tarasenko. Feels like the perfect fit. Is going to play with Panarin. Everyone's better when they play with Panarin. And here's a guy who people are looking at his stats and saying, oh, well, it kind of fell off from the previous year, but guy gets invigorated, gets with a playmaker like Panarin. That's going to be pretty good. And in your mind, this kind of elevates the Rangers to, I don't know, more of a legitimate type of contender status than you felt previously.
It is a fantastic move for the Rangers. I see Islander fans. They're in classic like Islander fan denial because they just don't want to say, well, we got Horvat and it's been no. This is a guy who was over a point per game player last year, like many of the Blues. You think O'Reilly's really that much of a worse player? They're a team, you know, kind of like the Islanders were. A lot of veterans, very stale year, have got smacked by the Avalanche in back-to-back playoffs, which is honestly like the last, all right, well, like this team, we won the cup. We're not like that cup team anymore, and we're not good enough to beat the elite teams. And like the juice was out of that Blues team, and it has been all season. Like they're finished. So it's only natural that these guys, Tarasenko, O'Reilly, Saad, that they're not going to produce like they would previously. But you saw what a motivated Tarasenko did coming off that injury, and he's playing for another contract. He's literally an unrestricted free agent to be. Everybody's going to be watching at the end of this year and during the playoffs. He's going to be earning himself a contract, and he's going to be playing with one of the most creative playmakers that there is available in the league, a 100-point player, almost an MVP player in Artemi Panarin, who he has a rapport with. Fellow countrymen right around the same age. I don't remember their youth playing status, but I know they're definitely familiar with each other. And you saw it. You saw the rewards reaped immediately with a Tarasenko goal from Panarin. Plus, when you think about their power play, what's the only thing? I mean, it's one of the filthiest power plays you can see. What's the only thing that they didn't have? A bullet coming from a lefty. And now they even have that. So I think it's great for the New York Rangers. I think it elevates them up into Tampa and Toronto status, and I think I would put them right below Carolina and still a tier under Boston. But yeah, they have legitimate hopes because of the bracket they're in. They're in the scam bracket that I hoped. They're going to get the inexperienced Devils. They're going to wax them in about five or six games, and then they're going to have to deal with Carolina. We'll see if Carolina makes any additions.
And a team that they obviously beat in game seven
a year ago. Look at that. Didn't have their starting goalie, didn't have Burns, relying on D'Angelo on the back end. Their power play was clicking at an astronomical rate. I think it's a rookie mistake to say, well, look how they're kicking their ass this year, and look how they won in game seven. Well, also, the New York Rangers beat Tampa in every regular game. One game one, one game two, was up 2-0 in game three, and then they never won another game for the rest of the series. So I don't take too much into that Rangers own Carolina stock.
And of course we have the trade deadline coming up on March 3rd. And as far as the Islanders go, people are thinking, all right, these next eight games, you know, could there be a scenario after we just saw Lou Lamoriello add and make this move for today and tomorrow and extending Bo Horvat? Is there a scenario where if the Islanders are 6-8 points back 8 games from now on March 2nd, that he finally does become a seller? And people may feel like, just as they did maybe 2 weeks ago before the Bo Horvat deal, that that's the way and direction they could go. I find it really hard. The Islanders are going to be completely out of it 8 games from now, to the point where he's going to sell off Scott Mayfield or Varlamov and ask Parisi if he wants the move. It might be the smart thing to do for the organization, and maybe even recoup a first round pick that you lost and are trading to the Vancouver Canucks. Who knows? You can miss the playoffs, have your pick protected, and get a first rounder from somewhere else. Find it hard to think that they'll do that, even if it's the move they should make. But I don't see, number one, I don't see Lou doing it, and I don't necessarily see that them being that far out of it at that point to make that happen.
I mean, I just don't see how, he's not going to do this, but even if you're not out of it, if you're going to go through the playoffs, if you're in a position where you have to bench Ilya Sorokin during the playoffs, then that's not good. If you have to do a playoff run where you're doing the Varlamov, Sorokin, come playoff time, Sorokin should be playing every single game.
Yeah,
because that's the way. I know. Varlamov's playing great.
The two Eastern Conference, semifinals and Eastern Conference run. I mean, Grice won game seven against the Flyers in the bubble. And then obviously Sorokin ended up winning the series against Pittsburgh. So, you know, Varlamov was certainly the goalie during those two deep runs, but in both of them, there were moments where they had to call upon their backup. But yeah, without question.
That was also, though, the different team, different style. We did not have a potential, as they say, Vezina candidate on our day. If you have to bench a quote-unquote Vezina candidate,
yeah, you're not winning the series.
Well, it's just like then he's not a Vezina candidate. I'm sorry, right. He's not. So either he's the guy that you're selling us that he is, or he's not. You can't be benching him for two games and playing Varlamov, even if Varlamov's playing better. Like, if this is a guy, the cornerstone of your franchise, do you really go back and say, well, you know, Lundqvist, his second year in the playoffs, third year in the playoffs, they had to go to weeks and they had to – never, never. So I think if you're going to the playoffs, Sorokin's taking that next step where he is stealing games, and I just don't see how with how well Varlamov has played and him – being on his way out. I just don't see, because you're not affecting the roster in terms of the forwards and all that stuff, and you'll get something for him from these teams who are needy with the way Varlamov is playing. I mean, he's not going to do it, but
that exactly. Right, I just, could you really imagine him doing that? And especially if I think they would like to have Varlamov back and at a reduced rate and have him be the backup next year, because the Islanders just, unless it's going to be Corey Schneider, there's no one right now in their system that you can say, well, that's going to be the backup on the cheap next year. You wouldn't even know, like, I guess you would throw Corey Schneider maybe a game or two in the last 18 games of the year, whatever it would be. Between the trade deadline and the end of the season, but you would certainly be riding Sorokin a lot, which, listen, he's proved that he can do that since Varlamov has been out with injuries each of the last couple of years. But yeah, that doesn't impact the roster. And even Scott Mayfield from a situation, when you look at Mayfield, they really like what they saw of Samuel Bulldog. If Mayfield were to go, you're going to play him and you're going to play Aho. I mean, okay. I mean, is it, that's again, bad. In terms of, that's it's bad. Not good, but I mean, in terms of,
That's Banya level, but that's round teen.
Yeah. That's, but at least then you're developing someone at the worst case scenario, you're giving someone NHL level minutes, over the last, yeah,
you're saying they're definitely not doing anything next year because they're struggling as it is with this D core.
Well, I don't know how does Mayfield fit into the plans for next year. I mean, maybe he does. I don't know. I mean, he's been making no money since he signed that contract.
Well, players like him, usually if you look around the league, even, you know, he's valued internally. There's not even many people who know who Scott Mayfield is.
You don't think the way he played in the playoffs the last 100% 2 years ago don't matter?
I forget right the comparables, but his comps all aren't making that much when you look at the last two seasons of contracts offered to defensemen. I mean, it's crazy. I disagree with it. I value him way more than a guy like Shattenkirk or like, what's his name from the Canucks last year who signed with the Ducks? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank, because like now I just, Heiskanen's in my head. Come on. He signed for like, Jesus Christ, this kills me. I mean, I played him in DFS. I clicked this guy's face, put him in my roster 500 times for DFS when that power play used to be good a couple years back. And he has one of the worst defensive metrics, and I'm just going to talk myself into remembering his name. My goodness. Jesus Christ. All right, help me out.
I'm trying to find you here.
Come on.
I'm trying to go online here. I can't. I'm blanking too.
No.
I'm sure the audience is loving this. I feel like this is like a Mike Francesa moment.
John Klingberg. John Klingberg.
Okay, absolutely. You have to deal with the deads with the silence on the radio for a little bit.
Even if I'm researching things, you'll still be getting things coming out of my mouth. But you know, John Klingberg, awful defensive metrics, and then he's getting offered a $7 million a year contract. The amount that GMs overvalue offense is absurd to me. And I think that's also partially the reason why we got the deal for Pelech when he did, you know, whether Trotz helped Pelech, I guess we'll see in the long run. But I don't think, from what I've heard, I don't think Mayfield's going to be that expensive to retain. He's a guy who's given a lot and
still a raise still a raise. I mean, over 1.4.
Yeah, but it's not, even if it's like $3 million or something. I mean, you're looking at that saying, okay, good. We got one of our like top four defensemen. He can clearly be like a number four on the Islanders. And he's not like, you know, these defensemen, they can play until their mid 30s. I think he's right around 30 years old. I mean, anything where he's out before 35, I'd be cool with giving him, because defensemen like him are usually effective into that age.
Well, there it is, right? The two guys that potentially have value are two players that Islanders might want back.
But one guy helps the team immensely. One guy helps the team immensely. The other guy's getting in the way of a potentially Vezina winning candidate. One guy is actually expendable and might be a weird speed bump in the way where you're forced to play him because he's playing so well. And now you're benching Sorokin for way more than you'd want to because Varlamov is playing like the way he is.
Well, we'll see. Listen, it could go a couple different ways. They can fall out of it and do absolutely nothing, and you're going to have just ride out the rest of the season. Or they can make a move and add. Who knows? Or sell. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting next couple weeks. All right, Andy. Well, listen, you were kind of evasive on the Valentine's Day plan, in case there was a special someone in there. But if there is, I hope you guys have a wonderful time. Betting against Josh Bailey to collect a point. Honestly, yeah, if you would,
that,
you could,
that's
you could,
what's been
you,
most depressing.
You could have gotten still been making your money if you would have just kept on betting against Bailey.
Well, that's what's been most depressing. No, because in the first game that
he did have the
Horvath,
assist against
he had that
assist. Not he wasn't on that the Palmieri as PP2, but yeah.
Yeah, I understand, but so that would have been lucky regardless. I'm not sure how much he's factored, but it's the fear that he's just gonna, touch it coming into the zone when he was buried on that fourth line. That's a laugher's delight out there. I am laughing.
Now, you could have paid for the prefix meal on Valentine's Day, no problem. tip the maitre d. Grease the hostess to get a.
Well, I just
nice
did
table.
Something else. I just put a stack of money on the Colorado Avalanche to win the West because they've had a lackluster season to this point. Landeskog has missed all year. MacKinnon missed a chunk. Makar missed time. So many of them missed a chunk. Yet they're starting to get healthy and they're already in like third, almost in second in their division again. And from what I believe, they're going to add a big player and then they're going to use the Kucherov scam and then activate Landeskog for playoffs. And they're going to be this ultra stacked team against one of the worst conferences I've ever seen in my whole life with this Western Conference. This is one of the worst conferences I have ever seen. And if you wait like 2 weeks and the Avalanche rip off a couple wins, the price is going to be awful. So I got it in right now while their record still is not great and you can get a good price. They're still the top favorite to come out of the West, but at least since they're in the lower part of the standings, if they were playing like normal Avalanche, you'd get nothing. You would get nothing worth your money.
I would love
to know.
If you're listening to Andy, don't forget to tip him on Patreon if you end up making this bet and you end up winning. And then you can send him a Valentine. All right. Well, listen, talk to you next week, Islanders country. We'll see if the Islanders react and respond to this Lane Lambert tough practice. They got the Ottawa Senators on Tuesday. And then, of course, they have these matchups against the Pittsburgh Penguins and Boston Bruins coming up as well. So it should be an eventful week or so coming up. For Mr. Andy Francis, I am Joe Bono. We will talk to you next time, Islanders country. Good night.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.